The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Baba Metzia Daf Ayin Bet. The stuff is being studied in the Shvat of Rambin Esther. Ruach Hashem Tinechan Begin Edna Mitzvah. The stuff is being studied for Asher Ema, Rabbanit, Sarab Bat Ya'il, Ilna Refanala, Ilna Refanala, Ilna Refanala, Fuat Nefesh, Fuat Guf. So attack Rabba Lord, Echein, Asum, Ramad, Amen. Tamar Banan, Rabbi Bright. Third line from the top. Yisrael Shlavad Ma'ot Ben Nokri. Okay, so a Jew borrowed money from a Goy. Be'er Rebit. Okay, no problem. Jew could pay Rebit to a Goy. V'zakfan alav b'milveh. What did he do? As the interest was accruing, he owes him, let's say, the total loan was $1,000. After 2 months now, it gets like $1,100. It's growing the interest. He writes him up a new deal like. He's like, you know what? For now on, the new loan is $1,100. Now you owe me $1,100, and we're starting again. So therefore, the interest turns into like part of the loan, and now we start again. A new deal. It's almost as if they made he just compounded the interest into the loan again and started again from scratch. Okay, that's Zakfan Alad bin Milveh. Look at that, she in the second line. Lachal Zeman, Hishiv Emor Alad Rebit. He calculated the beat at that point. Vizokif Akol Biyahad bin Milveh. He put it all together in the loan. Vechatav lo shtar alem. I put a new shtar. Kak vekak ani hayav leploni. You owe me now $1,100. Okay, that's the new loan. He didn't collect anything. What happened? Vinit gayir. Oh, then the goy, the lender, converted. Problem. Now he's Jewish. Now he has a problem of the beat. So the question is, when did he convert? At which point in the story over here? What else says? Im kodem shinit gayir zakfan alav b'malveh. If before he converted, he turned the rebit into part of the loan, goveh et hakeren vegoveh et rebit. He could collect everything. He could collect the principal and he could collect the rebit. Because, as she says, the mish'at zekifa ave kegabui. Because once already he turned the rebit into the loan, so that's a loan again. So therefore it's considered as if it's... No, the Gemara. If before he converted, right. So he's still going. Zakfan ala bimalvei, he converted the. It's two conversions.
Okay, okay. That's
the conversion of the guy. He switched the loan or the beat into the loan. Then govet akirin the govet into the beat. He's able to collect everything. Why? It is as though the Gentile collect the interest before his conversion. And now, as a Jew, he's collecting the amount of the new document. Okay. That's right. Because you now have a document. This is, therefore, I'm collecting a loan. Yeah. No problem. V'im lahash nit gayir. But after the goy converted, zakfar alav b'malveh, then he switched it, he turned it into a loan. Govet takerev and govet rebit. He can only take the principal, but he cannot take the rebit. Okay? Because he's forbidden to collect interest. Even the interest that's due for the period prior to the conversion.
Can't take it?
No. It's now forbidden rabbinically. Since it accrued, the interest that accrued prior to this conversion is now forbidden. Okay. It's only because it accrued in a permissible way. But now that he's Jewish, so the rabbis will say it. You're right, even though it's permissible at the time that it accrued. So again, what happened over here? The guy... He converted, and then he took the beat, and he put it into the loan. So it's a problem now, because now you're collecting the beat as a Jew, and therefore it's going to be a problem. Okay, if he did it after he converted. Fine. V'chein nukhri. Another case. Shelava ma'ot mi'seb rebit. That's a reverse case. The goy borrowed money, so the goy is the borrower now. No problem, you could charge him interest. And the Jew took the interest and now wrote up a new document and turned it into a new loan. And now the borrower, the goy, converted. If before he converted, he turned it into the loan, no problem. Because that's a loan. he wrote it into a document, so therefore
it's like he collected before he converted,
and therefore now it's a new loan, so now he has a new document, so the document is also pay him. The emission it kayer, but after he converted, zakfan alab bimalveh. Oh, so now you didn't collect the interest yet, and you turned it into a loan after he converted. He was Jewish already. Govet the keren, venu govet the ribit. Okay, clear. You get the keren, but you cannot get the ribit. Okay, we understand that as well. Here's the hadush now. Rabbi Yosef Omer, nochri shelava maot miyseb ribit, a goy that borrows money from a Jew, benkach u benkach, govet the keren. They go to the beat. You can always collect the interest. Even after he converts, he's got to pay the interest.
Wow.
Which means, a regular case, a Jew lent money to a goy. 20% interest, whatever the interest rate was over there. But they pay him. Now the goy becomes Jewish. The loan is still outstanding.
Right.
Regular halakha would say, no more interest now. Now he's Jewish. Rabbi Yosef says, 20% interest. Why? Amar Rava, Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Rav Huna. Halakha, can it be Yosef? That's the halakha. Amar Rava, my time, it be Yosef. Kede shelo yomru, bishvil ma'otav nitkayir zeh. So it doesn't put a question on its conversion. People are going to say, no, he converted for ulterior motives. He's doing it to save the interest. And therefore the conversion is going to be Lach Hashem Shamayim. So therefore, in order that there should be no question that he didn't do it for the wrong reasons, the deen is charging the interest to keep the conversion clean. Tan Rabbanan, shtar shekatub bo ribit. You have a shtar that was written up for a loan with interest. Konsin oto ve'eno goveh lo takere ve'lo teribit. Devre Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is Mahmir. He says, we punish the guy. Not only are you not going to be able to collect the ribit, but you can't even collect the Jew to Jew. You won't even be able to collect the principal. This shtar of it is not valid. You wrote a shtar with a beat in it. We're not letting you collect even the permissible stuff in the shtar. The chamim omrim govet a kerem and govet a beat. No, chamim say no. Let him collect the legal part of it and leave the beat. What's the machlok rovir? The bimeir savar kansina netera mishum esura. The rabbanan savar look kansina netera mishum esura. The machlok is going to be over here. Do you make a kenas? Rabbi Meir is going to say, we kenas the heter because of the isud. And Achamim are going to say, no, we don't kenas the heter because of the isud. Tanan Atam. Okay, introduction. You know what a shtar mukdam is?
Predated.
Shtar mukdam is a predated loan. Predated shtar. Predated is very bad. Pasul. Why? How does it work? I lend you money. So you're the borrower. We write a shtar, we write a date. As a lender, I come along and say, listen, I'm putting a lien on your properties. Anything you sell from today on, from the day that the loan was done, there's a lien on it. You don't pay me, I look at the date. It says on it, January 2nd, whatever you sold from January 2nd on, there's a lien on it. You don't pay me, I'm coming after those properties. And I have a shtar, it says January 2nd, I can show it to everybody, and therefore I take it. If I write shtar mukdam, I gave you the loan on January 2nd. But we predate the shtar to January 1st. Oh, so now, you sold something on January 1st, there was no loan out. So there was no lien on the property at the time. But I got a shtar since January 1st. I can unlawfully take now likuhot that was sold before the loan was even in existence, before there was even a lien on it. That's a problem. Therefore, shtar mukdam is pasul. But there's another type of shtar called shtar me'uhar. Shtar mu'ahad is kasher, for the obvious reason. It's the disadvantage of the loan, of the lender. It's a post-dated. The loan was on January 2nd. I didn't date it till January 3rd. So technically, I lost all those properties that he sold on January 2nd, which I had a legal lien on it. I forfeited those. Okay, you want to forfeit it, you have a right to do that. So always remember, shtar mu'ahad is always better than a shtar mukdam. Good. So now we're going to go into a deen. Let's say I wrote a shtar mukdam, January 1st. I dated it early. But we all know, meaning the borrower and the lender, we know the date. We know it was January 2nd. So the shayla is going to be, can I at least collect from lands of January 2nd and on? Or do I say, you can't collect from nothing now? Because the start is a mukdam start, the whole thing's pasul, you cannot collect from any properties at all. That's going to be the she'ela. So the Gemara says, Tanan, Atam, we're not doing it. Shtar chova mukdamim, if it's a shtar mukdam predated, pesulim. Okay, we know that. Shtar is pasul. Vamuharim, kishirim. Mukdamim amai pesulim. That's right. Why you tell me shtar mukdam is pasul? Nehi delo gavu mizman rishon. True. Don't let him collect from the early date, nigbu mizman sheni. But let him collect from the second date, meaning the date that they know that the loan happened. Let them go from January 2nd at least. Amar bishom and Lakish, b'machloket shinuya. Hey, that's a machloket for the bimeiri. This braita of shtar chov that's pasul is a bimeir. What did we just learn about a bimeir? We learned it to be by a beach star. The whole star is pasul where you can't even collect the legal part. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, by the way, this star mukdam braita is a bimir also. And I'm not going to let you collect even from the right date. Good? I mean, just like Rabbi Meir makes a gezerah. He called a knas. He makes a knas on the heter because of the isur. So too also over here. Over here it's written January 1st, a day earlier. You know, I'm not going to even let you collect from January 2nd. I put a knas on the guy. That's a bimeir.
Is this a sort of right?
Well, you're going to come to collect properties that are not yours. Could lead to a sort of right. Could be stealing. Anyway, the Gemara says, you don't got to go that far. But you harana amara filu temara banan. In this case, even the rabbis will agree. Normally the rabbis don't make gezerot on the isur for the tether that you collect. Gezerah shimme yigbe mizman rishon. Is different. The rabbis are more concerned in this case. Because I have a shtar that's written wrong. It says January 1st. Now, true, I could come along and I could say, all right, listen, we know the real date was January 2nd, collect from January 2nd. But not always, when I go to collect, not always does the guy that I'm collecting, I'm the lender now. Now I'm going to the liens. I have my shtar, it says January 1st. Not always does the guy that I'm taking the lien from question the validity of the shtar. Maybe it's mukdam. Let me investigate when the real loan was done. He trusts the shtar. He said, January 1st. He said, okay, take my field. Yeah, no problem. That's what it is. So the Rabbanan say, normally I'm not worried. Normally, for example, in a shtar we have a beat in the shtar. Okay, leave the beat. Just collect the regular money. No problems could come out of that. But here, a problem could come out of it. Because if you let him use this shtar for the real date, January 2nd and on, it's possible that it could come over here through a mistake where he's going to go. Well, the guy, I'm only going to say January 1st. I'll go to a naive guy that doesn't know, and I'll take his field from January 1st. He's not going to question the shtar really to investigate if it was really that right date, because you believe a shtar, and therefore it's come to a problem. See, here, it's bigger. Even the rabbis will agree you can come to a situation. So it's got nothing to do with the Nabimi either, the Mahloket. Look at that she says, Shimma yigbe minzman rishon. It's right in the middle. Di'ika delo masika datel ledakdek kol kach bezman alva'a. Right? Some of the guys on the liens, they're not going to medakdek to find out exactly when the loan happened. Lomar limadvish shetirim shetarcha mukdam. They're not going to start questioning, hey, the loan was done before. They're going to read the shtar, they're going to believe it. If the rabbis was not, even according to the hakamim, that normally do not make knasses, but in this case over here, they're going to be more strict. That clear? Okay. Let's continue. A story. Ha'u gabra. Okay, there was a guy, the mashkin pardesal lechavre. He borrowed money from his friend. He gave his vineyard as a collateral to the lender. Okay? He could use it. Oh, we had a problem, right? How could you use it? It's the beat? Okay, they worked it out, like we learned earlier in the Gemara, where you could give a pledge, and he'll pay a certain amount, and he paid off. They worked that. It's not the beat over here. Okay? Not the beat. Achla telat shene. So the lender took its produce for 3 years. Okay, that's like a hazakah, like 3 years, he's eating on the field. Right. Normally when a person has a hazakah in a field for 3 years, nobody contests it. After 3 years here, he can claim, it's my land. He doesn't even have to, wait, normally. He doesn't even have to show a deed. In the case of a loan secured by a pledge property, a document attesting to the loan includes a clause allowing the lender to use the pledge property. This document is held by the lender. Usually no other document is drawn up, and the borrower holds no documentary proof that the lender's occupancy of the field is merely a pledge. Wow. So in order to prevent the lender from claiming the pledge property as his own, the borrower should register his protest before 3 years.
Wow.
He has to declare for the witnesses, hey, it's not his field.
Because it's saying the
Hazakah
is stronger than the...
Yeah, the Hazakah is Hazakah. That's right. There's no paper. The lender's holding all the papers. He has no paperwork, the borrower.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So therefore now, they tell the guy, listen, within 3 years, you better scream so everybody knows what's going on. Yeah. Anyway, so the lender tells the borrower, if you sell me the vineyard, fine. What does it mean? I want you to sell me the vineyard and present me with a deed of sale as proof of my ownership. If you don't, kavishna lal lishtar mashkanta. V'amina likuhai biyadi. Wow. I'll hide my document that says there was a loan over here, and I'll just say, I'm here for 3 years, I'll see you later, I'm good. Means he's making a little extortion over here. He's telling me, listen, you want to sell me the land, no problem. But I have a way of getting this land without you selling it to me, by the way. I'll hide this document so nobody can see anything, and then I'll say, Hazaka. Azal kam akniel libno katan. So the borrower over here, he also did a trick. So he went and he sold the vineyard, or he gave the vineyard as a gift to the lender's minor son. Oh, his son, I'm sorry, his son. The borrower gave the vineyard to his minor son. What is he gaining by that? Okay, there are the witnesses, there are the shtar, no problem. V'hadar zabnani ale. And then sold it to the lender, and with achrayut, he sold it to him. He did not reveal to the lender that he had already given away the field and was actually not legally entitled to sell
he
it.
He sold it, not his son.
Right.
He sketched him.
He gave it to his kid as a gift.
And he himself.
And then he went and sold it. He wasn't allowed to sell it anymore because
right.
He gifted it to his kid. So he wrote a star, he signed it. It's not mine to sell.
After 3 years?
After 3 years.
After the guy came and said, I want it?
Yeah. The guy said, I want it, otherwise I'm going to steal it from you, basically. Right? So he came along and said, no problem. When he gifted it to his kid, because it's really his, it's really the borrower. He gifted his kid. They go, all right, a star.
But the other guy's putting his name on
the star. So they signed it and all that. But doesn't mean that. Now, as usual with real property, the sale was accompanied with a warranty, meaning the seller owns the property. The seller promises to reimburse the buyer if the land gets seized. Right? Achrayut means I'm guaranteeing you that if somebody comes and takes this field, a creditor, I'm going to reimburse you. That's what achrayut means. Oh, so now it gets tricky. Gemara says, Zibine vaday lo avaz bine. The sale is not a sale because it wasn't his to sell. Seller wasn't the owner. However, Zuze kemilve bishtar damu vegove menechasim mishubadim odilma kemilve alpe damu ve'eno gove menechasim mishubadim. What's the question? The purchase money. The lender paid. Also, I guess, how did he pay for this field? He was owed money. So he told the mother, the money that you owe me, keep it, and I'm taking the field. So the sale is not a sale, because he didn't have rights to sell it. But how do we look at the money now? The purchase money that the lender paid and now claims according to the terms. Kimilveh bishtar damu. Now, milveh bishtar normally is, if I lend money on a shtar, if I lend you money on a shtar, and you don't pay me,
then I can even go after your real estate. If I lend you money al peh, I can only go after metaltelin, only after movables. So how do you look at this? V'goveh menechasim meshubadim, or dilma kemilveh al peh dam uvenu goveh menechasim meshubadim. Which means, the sale, I got it. The sale's not a sale. It seems the lender gave money over here. The lender maybe gave money, extra money for the field or whatever it may be. So now how do I look at that money? If I look at this money as a, I gave you money now with a shtar, because what's the shtar? What's this fake shtar? This shtar over here that was made up, even though it's not a legal shtar of sale, maybe it turns this money into a loan, therefore I can go after now your properties. Or maybe do I say what? Since the shtar over here is flawed, because really it doesn't do anything, so therefore this money that I gave you is just turned into a loan that's verbal, and therefore I cannot go after property. That's the Gemara's question. The deed of sale is flawed, it's fictitious, there's a reason to consider it doesn't have the power to create a lien. That's the Gemara's question. Gemara says, V'lav ainu Rabbi Asi, Tamar of Asi, which of Asi's case, Modeh b'shtar sheketavo, Eno sarich lekayemo, V'gobe menechasim, Meshubadim. Right? I have a shtar. I'm a lender. I have a shtar, but I have witnesses on the shtar. Normally, we have to do is you have to verify the witnesses that everyone's kosher. I have a shtar. Let's say the borrower comes along and says, "I wrote that shtar. I have no problem. I'm agreeing the shtar. Once he already admits that the shtar is good, I don't have to verify it, and I can even collect from nechasim mishubadim." So here, similar is the same thing. The borrower is admitting he wrote the shtar. Obviously the shtar is fictitious, but he's agreeing that he wrote the shtar. Once you're agreeing that you wrote the shtar, it should turn the money into a loan with a shtar that you're agreeing that you wrote. Therefore, at least I should be able to collect that money from nechasim mishubadim. Look at the top of the sheet. Modeh b'shtar sheketavo. Me'achad shal loveh modeh sheshtar chov sheyotzi alav shtar emet. He admits that he owes the money and the shtar is emet. Elam ha'mesrik lachzor acharei adim ha'chatumim bo v'la'id el ha'chatumim l'kayimam. Then we're going to find the witnesses to make sure that they verify their signatures. Hakan ameh. Hanei modeh shemecherol ba'achrayut. He's modeh that he sold the field and he took responsibility. V'mashtar batel le'inyan mechira mepnei shtar matanat shkadmo lo batel le'inyan acharuf. But, which means, once already you're saying that the shtar is batel because he gifted it to his kid first, so once the shtar is batel over, it could be the shtar is batel for everything. And therefore the Gemara is saying, and therefore what? It follows that it has full efficacy and can be used to collect from encumbered property. Yet an uncertified document, thus we see that a flawed document has the power to create a lien. That's what's happening over here. It's a flawed document. It should work. Gemara says, "Amale Rava midame hatam nitan nihikatev, achal lo nitan nihikatev." Very easy answer. Big difference. Over there, it was legal to write the shtar in the first place. Over here, the shtar shouldn't have been written in the first place. You did a regular case where a loveh and a maveh v'shtar. It was a legal transaction. So the shtar was able to be written in the first place. Now when the loveh admits that the shtar is kosher, you don't got to mekayem it. By second here, the whole shtar was written under a false premise. So then who says it's going to turn the loan into a shtar document, and therefore could be won't be able to collect from nechasim mishubadim? We'll stop here, but let's just finish. The deed of sale was entirely fictitious to make a new that the vineyard was no longer is to sell. And he issued the document only under duress. A document that should not have been written in the first place, had no legal power at all. It cannot even secure as proof of non-payment, and certainly does not create a lien. So therefore we thought originally, what? Maybe the fictitious document, even though it's not going to help for the sale, it can help at least to create an obligation that he can get his money back from property. Kamashmalani Gemara saying, no, fictitious document is not going to work. Finally, let's just read Rashi. Third line, only tani katev me'arash katu kevar matanav akolcho kadvod ezeh. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen, amen.